in the marketplace, I think it really has a whole lot to do with finding your rhythm. And what I mean by that is that you've got these daily and weekly routines that aren't going anywhere. Many of those routines are established for you by your employer or by the nature of your work or, you know, by the systems that you've set up if you're employed on your own. And it has so much to do with you figuring out how to structure your life and get into a pattern, into a rhythm. I would just strongly suggest for those of you who are in the marketplace, you've got a full-time job or a part-time job and other responsibilities, you've got to find a way to make the weeks conducive to your relationship with God. Instead of allowing the tyranny of each week, the tyranny of whatever urgent thing is happening to own you, you've got to get into a rhythm. It has so much to do with just a schedule of life, of when you do certain things, when you don't do certain things you say yes to, things you say no to. It's so important for those that are in the marketplace, have marketplace assignments, that the Lord desires to use that marketplace assignment, to use you there to impact those people that you'll connect with, to use you to be able to create finances to sow into the kingdom. But it's so important that you don't lose your way. And it's easy to lose your way when you're busy and the Lord has you in an environment that many times is very secular, surrounded by people that maybe or probably don't love Jesus. It's real easy to lose your way when you're in that environment lots and lots of hours a week. Has everything to do with you finding a rhythm of times that you're in the Word, of times that you spend with the Lord, of times, of ways that you posture yourself, of things that you say yes to and things that you just normally just don't go do. Things that you can set yourself into the rhythm of life so that you can maximize that season. For our intercessory missionaries, there's a growing number of you, which is fun. I mean, this congregation might have more intercessory missionaries in it than any congregation in the city. That's kind of a fun thing to say. that these intercessory missionaries, we're about to double the number here pretty quick. Life looks even different than the marketplace or stay-at-home mom. And I just don't want us that are in the position of being an intercessory missionary to pass up on the incredible opportunity that he's giving us in this season. It is an incredible opportunity, and it's not promised forever for a number of reasons. But for those who are intercessory missionaries, you're employed at the prayer room, either part-time or full-time, to give yourself to the posture of prayer, don't just be in the room. Don't waste this season. Find a way to touch God. Find a way to connect to Him. He is the one giving you this season of committed hours of prayer each week. He's the one that's allotting it. And we just want to look at that in awe and recognize the incredible honor, privilege, the power that the Lord is giving in that particular assignment as we're having a growing number of intercessory missionaries. Don't just take it for granted that because you're on staff at some prayer ministry, that you're going to grow in your walk with God. I look at it actually as the Lord's desire to cause a great acceleration in that season. And to go into that season, or to be in that season as an intercessory missionary, or really a modern day priest before the Lord, to be in that heart posture and stay in the normal third gear is totally a waste of the season. You want to go into overdrive. You want to drive that thing like you stole it. And ask the Lord to give you all the grace the more to be able to connect to Him in the place of prayer, to press in. You know, it's the role of the priests to go on before the people and to really press into God and to be able to touch God in a way that they might come back with some revelation to help everybody else on their journey. For those of you who are intercessory missionaries, I just want to encourage you, don't waste the season. You don't know how long it is, and the Lord has specific purposes, and I have a feeling it has a whole lot to do with accelerating the work of the Lord in your life for this season. Don't pass it up. Leadership roles. There are a number of you that are growing in leadership roles. We just talked about small group leaders, and there are a number of you that serve in different positions of leadership, section leaders, or a senior staff over at the prayer room. There's a number of different leadership positions, and this is just kind of how it's going to be. The Lord is just raising up leaders in our midst, and the truth of the matter about leadership is it just has some different aspects to it that cause you to have to invest in some ways that non-leaders don't have to invest. It's a little bit extra time. It's a little bit extra worry, it's a little bit extra care, a little bit extra prayer, a little bit extra everything. And that's what it means to be a leader. And those of you that are in leadership roles, there is it, you can't get rid of it, you can't divorce from it. There absolutely is an added measure of responsibility that is put on you as a leader, and it's from God. Don't try to shirk it, don't try to avoid it. Don't try to minimize it. Just embrace it. What added responsibility means is you don't have the flexibility that you had when you weren't a leader. There are things you can't go do. Just staying above reproach, there are things you can't go do. There are things you can't go do because you need to be there for those that you're helping or leading. There are things that you can't go do for a number of reasons, and that's from God. Those leadership roles are from the Lord. Don't try to avoid it. Don't try to run from it. We're not excused from the greatest commandment as leaders. Man, so many times I look up at the Lord and I go, Lord, are you playing a game up there like to see how much more busy you can make me? Like, is this funny? It's not funny. And I just realized that this message I'm preaching to you tonight, I'm preaching to me. I'm like, okay, remember, first commandment, Brad, you got to do this. That I don't have permission to get away from the first and the greatest commandment, even though I'm a busy guy. That's my first and greatest commandment. And so though I'm in leadership positions, though many of you are in leadership roles, we have a responsibility to touch Him, to worship Him, to know Him, to be close to Him, and to be His. Whatever other role that you might be in, whatever other version of life you might find yourself, we've got to find a way in each one of these positions to seek Him now. Don't wait for your role to change. This is, don't wait. Don't wait to seek Him. Don't wait. I've been doing ministry long enough that I've been able to hear some really exciting things people say and some common excuses that people give. And the common excuses many times are, well, I'll get serious about God. Now, who says that? I mean, who would say that exact phrase? But that's the gist. I'll get serious about God when? You know, when this thing happens. When this thing shifts. I'll get serious then. Don't. Wait. We're not even promised tomorrow. I mean, you just don't even know. But even if you knew, God told you your death date. I mean, that'd be a little morbid, but say He did. You've got that many days to utilize to get to your destiny. You've got that many days in between now and then to embrace God fully. Don't wait. Whatever we do, don't wait. We get into this kind of drawing back when things aren't going exactly how we want. And we start to come up with reasons why we're going to wait to really press in. We're going to wait to seek Him. Well, I'll wait till I go on missionary staff. I'll wait until this responsibility is over. I'll wait when I graduate. That's when I'll do it. I'll wait until, you know, after I have the kid or after I get married or after this. We're always trying to put it off. And the Lord's like, today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for breakthrough. Today is the day for pressing in. Today is the day that you've been given to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't wait for your role to change. You know, well, when I get this promotion, when this thing, when I get a different job. Don't wait for your season to change. Well, you know, when the Lord gives me more grace, well, I'll seek Him then. Don't wait for the season to shift. Well, I'm just so busy this season. Don't wait. Don't wait for better circumstances. You will spend your whole life waiting for better circumstances for your ship to come in. I mean, for that major breakthrough, that big thing. Well, if I just had this shift in my life. Don't wait for all that. Don't wait for something to shift. Don't wait for God to make it easy. Go for Him now. Today. Listen, in however many minutes, 25 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever, we're going to be done here. And all of you are going to have your time back. You're kind of lending it to me here for a few minutes. Appreciate it. You're going to have your time back. And you're going to then need to make decisions about what are you going to do with this message? I'm going to do the exact same thing I did yesterday. Well, if you were pursuing God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength yesterday, yeah, go with that plan. That's good. Keep that up. Feel like, well, I was kind of waiting for my season to shift. Well, quit that. That's a bad idea. Don't do that. Pursue God today. Pursue God tonight. It is the hour to begin to look at what the Scripture empowers us to do. Think about this. The God of heaven has given us empowering words because He understands human weakness perfectly. An aspect of human weakness? Seasons. An aspect of human weakness? Excuses. He understands human weakness perfectly, and the God of heaven said, yeah, if you want to know the greatest commandment, it's to love me with your all. Well, even in the midst of my, yeah, even in the midst of your. You want to know the first commandment? It's to seek Him with your all. I mean, this is the desire of heaven. This is the purpose of life. And I just don't want us, as people that are so entrenched in our culture, that's so filled with excuses, and so many that might even pat us on the back and give us permission to allow that excuse to talk us out of our destiny, I just don't want to agree with it. I just want to stand in my own life and just say, no, these are my excuses, and they're bad, and they're wrong, and I don't want to say yes to them anymore. I want to press on. I want to press through. I don't want to wait to seek God. I want to go for it today. I want to give Him my all. Fighting to keep our heart. We want to do everything in our power to stay engaged with Him, to stay having our focus on Him, to have an engaged heart. Fighting through everything that gets in the way so that we can worship Him in this season. I recognize there are many things that get in the way. But I want to encourage us. So I'm going to throw out a few words tonight. And if any of these start to strike a nerve with you, I want to encourage you to start hunt this fox. Because this is the thing that the Lord wants to deal with you on. We got to fight to overcome boredom. So many believers in the body of Christ are just bored. Bored. Go about 50 miles outside of DFW on a clear night and look up and talk to me about this God and how He's boring. Now, maybe we just haven't had the veil pulled back enough to be able to see. But if you stare up at a starry night, again, got to get outside from the lights here. We got so much blur here in the city. But you get 50 miles out of town and you look up on a clear night and you just tell me the guy who did that's boring. He's not boring. We're boring. He's not bored, we're bored. And so much of it has to do with what we fed ourselves. And if we feed ourselves on things that are boring, we'll get bored. If we feed ourselves on the knowledge of God, our hearts will become fiery hot and no longer bored. I just want to encourage us, if you find yourself bored, fight it like it's the devil. Fight it like you're in a ring with a guy with big boxing gloves coming at you. I mean, go against boredom like it's your real enemy. Because boredom will kill you. And we weren't created to be bored in God. If you find yourself bored in life, fight it. You can overcome that. The Lord can give you grace and you can fight your way out of that thing. But we got to fight. It is a fight to keep our heart embracing God. Boredom. Fighting to engage Him when we're busy. I know busyness, it'll get you. Busyness, if you're not careful, the busyness of life will overcome us. We'll find ourselves days turning into weeks, into months, looking back years and going, how did it get to be 3 years? I used to be so on fire for God. I used to love God so much. I could feel Him and I was pursuing Him. And now, I mean, I love Him. I love Him. I just got so busy. I left things by the side. I said I was going to do it for just a week. I needed a week. This week, a month. Man, this has been a hard month. Man, I lost my job. As soon as I get my job, I'll pursue Him. All these different things that happen. And my experience is that busyness is a big killer. I want to encourage us to fight busyness like it's a killer after you. Fight busyness. I don't mean throw off all the stuff, because a lot of times the stuff is what stuff the Lord gave you. I don't mean go on a quitting spree of all your responsibilities. I mean fight to keep your heart in the midst of the busyness. Fight to keep it. Recognize every day, I'm in a fight. And if I don't fight, I get punched and I wind up on the floor. Get your dukes up and go out and fight. Realize if you're in a season of busyness, you are in a fight for your life. And it's called fighting to keep your heart engaged with God, so that your heart in God might not flicker out in the midst of busyness, and busyness that the Lord may well have put in your life. Not all busyness is, but I'm busy and I know everything I got on my plate the Lord did to me. So again, I'm preaching at myself here. See, this is great. The great thing about being a pastor is you just preach all the time, is you get to pick messages that really minister to you. And you just pray, oh God, please touch them, I hope. You know, and then really you just preach yourself happy. So, next one. Fight to pursue Him even in the midst of your brokenness. Listen, I know there are times when you get disappointed. There are times when it didn't land. Times when that major setback happened. You're hurt. Hurt from the Lord, hurt from a person, hurt from a circumstance. I know, brokenness is real. It's real. We've experienced brokenness. All of us have. But the brokenness doesn't get us a get out of jail free card on the primary reason we were created. We were created to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to encourage you, those of you that are struggling, that you're in the midst of brokenness. Maybe you're on the front end of it. Maybe you're in the middle. Maybe you're on the tail end of it. Maybe you're so sick of it, you don't even want to talk about it anymore. I want to encourage you, those of you that are finding yourself working through brokenness, pursue Him in the midst of it. Do not let up your pursuit of God in the midst of your brokenness, in the midst of your need for healing. I'm not denying that the need for healing is real or that the brokenness really hurts. I'm just saying we can't let up on our pursuit of Him, even in the midst of brokenness. And the brokenness can come from setbacks, disappointments, things that the Lord did, things the Lord didn't do that you really wanted Him to do or thought He was going to do. But don't let your brokenness slow you down. Pursue Him. So again, if you recognize you're broken, you're feeling it, you're feeling the brokenness, you in a time alone with the Lord, you go, pretty broke down here, in the heart. Recognize you're in a fight. And fight to keep your heart. Fight to pursue Him through the brokenness, in the midst of the brokenness. I'm convinced all these different difficulties that I'm throwing out, the Lord is watching. Many times he's even set the situation up to see us through it, because we come out on the other side as one refined by the fire. But we got to come out the other side. And it's really easy to camp out in one of these situations, the busyness, the brokenness, the boredom. It's really easy to camp out and lose a lot of valuable time. Let's not lose time. The situations are going to come. Brokenness is going to come. It's life. Boredom is going to hit you at some point. I'm not prophesying. It's just reality. Busyness, if it's not now, it's next season. I mean, if you love God, God just keeps giving you stuff. It's what happens. He makes busy those that love Him, because they're doing so great that whenever they're doing good stuff, they're touching people, and the people are getting touched, and then they're getting more of the kingdom, and God says, ha, that one, give them more. That gal over there, she's doing it. And then the very thing that we were so excited to do now becomes a bit of a burden because we're so busy doing it. I promise you, you're going to have some of these things in your life. Just don't lose any time. You don't have to lose time. You don't have to look back and see a year's past sulking in brokenness. You don't have to look back and see a year or months past in busyness going, oh, where did the first 3 or 4 months of the year go? Man, I was so busy. Don't let these things take your time. I think that they're actually part of the specific situation that the Lord has given us each individually to be able to pursue Him, to be able to know Him, and to be able to touch Him in ways we couldn't touch Him in other circumstances, to be able to experience Him in ways that we couldn't outside of those particular situations. The Lord's in it. And lastly, even keeping your heart focused on Him when things are going great. And I found that it's as easy to get distracted when everything's going awesome as it is when things are going awful. It's almost like extremes are our nemesis. Like, you know, Solomon said something about that, to avoid all extremes. Man, you wind up so blessed, everything's going great, things are prospering, that it's easy to just get so excited that you just start to kind of like, your heart's so happy you're not desperate anymore. Your heart's so happy in the circumstances that you're not desperate to press in. You're not desperate to pursue. And I just want to say, in the midst of your greatest blessings, recognize you're in a fight. And that fight is to stay with your primary preoccupation on your God and not on the good things that He's doing for you. Thank Him for every one of those things, but don't lose your way. Don't lose your way. You know, a lot of this just comes out to crying out for more of Him. Crying out for desperation for Him. This is a great prayer. Crying out for desperation. Crying out for revelation of Him. You know, crying out saying, God, I need to know You better. I need to understand You more. Crying out. Crying out for inspiration by Him, especially in those bored seasons. Oh, Lord, help me to be inspired to seek You. Inspired to read Your Word. Inspired to go out 50 miles out of town and look up at the stars. Like, inspire me to even go do such a thing. Inspire my heart, God. You know, the Lord, He looks at our heart and He's so willing to put anything in there that we need. And He recognizes that our hearts have got a lot of lack in so many ways. And He's waiting for us to ask for the things that He can put into that heart to envision us, to invigorate us, to give us passion, to give us revelation, to cause our hearts to be desperate to cry out for Him and to encounter Him. I'll tell you what, no matter what season of life we're in, I think a great prayer to continually keep on your daily list is, God, let me encounter You. I just want to encounter You. When I'm driving down the road, when I'm holding the baby, when I see a good dessert that I just can't wait to eat. Yeah, I'm giving up sweets, you can tell. Man, I just want to cry out for encounter with God. You know what the Lord does? He says, He won't deny that. That pursuit, the Lord, I think, is just waiting for somebody to cry out for encounter. And you may find yourself having to cry out a little bit. You may have to enter into desperation even before the encounter comes. But I want to encourage us, instead of waiting for the next thing to happen, for God to do that next thing, for God to make it easy, let's just cry out to Him. Let's press in whatever season of life we're in. Wherever it is that we may be finding ourselves in this season, let's press in and press past. Philippians 3:13 says this. It's talking about pursuing Him today. 3:13 says, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ." This pressing on, when I think about what it means to press on, so many times it actually has to do with our circumstances that just happened to us. It's pressing on to pursue Him, just allowing this word to wash over us. The power of God, when you read that verse, man, take that verse home. Go open up the word, read that verse and say, God, envision me through this verse. And you'll find power come in your inner man to do the very thing that the Bible verse says. It's so crazy because it's not a book. It's God in letters that's been translated from multiple languages to get to us. I mean, it's the craziest thing. It's not a book. It's the Word of God, and it's powerful to transform your heart and your mind. So I want to encourage you, go read that verse and go, God, empower me to press on towards the goal, to forget what's behind me and to strain on towards what's ahead. I've found so many times that the last season beat us up so much, we're having a difficult time pressing on towards what's ahead. But God's always after us looking forward. What's ahead? What it is that the Lord wants to do in our life today? To press beyond what it is that has happened in our past season. Recognizing to press past how the last season, in some cases, was even better than the current. We get into moping. Lord, it seems like everything was working. The finances were working just a few months ago. This stuff was lined up. Lord, my heart was alive in You in the Word. I had these things. Don't be into the comparison thing. Just press forward. Press. You're never going to get through this field unless you press. Just imagine like a cornfield and the stalks are really high and there's no path. And it's pretty thick and you don't know how far it is to the other side. And every step is this knocking over a corn stalk. It's pretty intense. And you get kind of tired. You're like, how many of these things I got to knock over? Give me a machete or something. You got to press on. And the only way you're getting through that field, recognize it, the only way is if you press through to the other side. Otherwise, you die in the middle of the cornfield. Nobody even knows you're there. Press, press, press on. This is the word that the Lord has for us, is we've got to press on. Press past. Weathering difficult seasons. Throwing off everything that's getting in the way of us pursuing Jesus. You know, this verse has meant a lot to me over the years. It's one of the reasons you guys hear about it a lot. Come at it from every different angle. Really only know like 6 scriptures, so I've got a pretty limited base to be able to preach from. But this verse, really important to me, because what the Lord has so marked me with is in Hebrews 12:1, is this responsibility that the Lord gives to us. It's powerful because it's the Lord speaking to us about the fact that He wants to empower us to be able to make these decisions. And He says this, "Since we've been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race that's been marked out for us." He says, the writer of Hebrews says, why don't you throw off everything that hinders. Well, I was looking for God to throw it off. Nah, he's looking for you to throw it off. What is it that you have that you need to throw off? Well, here's the beautiful thing about this. God's not going to ask us to do something that then he won't empower us to pull off. So if he says, you take the bull by the horns and throw off everything that's hindering in this season, what's hindering? Wrong mindsets? Throw it off. Throw off those wrong mindsets. Laziness or boredom? Throw it off. Take that thing captive and say, no, I'm throwing you away. The Bible says I can, so congratulations, you're out. Being thrown out of here, boredom. Laziness, get out. The power here is this apostle writing to the church, and he's saying, you, man of God, woman of God, take a hold of the things that are hindering you in your life. Take authority over them. I'm telling you, you have authority over them. Take them and throw them off so that they don't hinder you anymore. There's nothing hindering you that you can't take authority over and move out of there. Cast off the things that are hindering you. And you know what they are. It doesn't even do any good to get into all the circumstances. There's so many different circumstances in the room, as many as there are faces. You guys know what it is that's hindering. Throw it off. Jesus is the most important thing. Don't let anything stand in our way. Let's not let anything hinder us. As I was thinking about this, I was struck again, and it ministered to me so much, I even went for it and did it myself here recently. That is another way that I really feel like the Lord wants for us to pursue him today, is to renew our commitment, or commitments. To renew our commitments. You guys are familiar with the passage in Revelation 2, and Jesus is talking to Ephesus. Ephesus was going for it, man. And he says, you've forsaken your first love. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things that you did at first. Do the things that you did at first. Now, I'm hoping that we're not in a posture. I don't think we are. Like Jesus was rebuking Ephesus. I just don't ever want to get there. In fact, I'd rather take the rebuke that Ephesus had and take the rebuke when I don't even need it, so that I don't ever need it. You hear what I'm saying? Is to renew our commitments, just taking a look at our current commitments. You know, I'll just say it real clear. The commitments that you have to Christ are your walk with him. If you have no commitments to Christ, you're probably pretty immature in your walk. You're probably pretty lazy in your walk. You probably don't have a lot of depth in your relationship with him. Your commitments to him, he has given us this incredible ability to decide how much of him we want. And it's the commitments that we make to him. And again, those commitments, some of them are real informal, some of them are more formal. But it's the commitments that we have between our heart and Christ that are in alignment with his word, that are the pursuing kind of commitments kind of stuff. It's those things that actually define our relationship with him. Because it's the investment thing. You know, those who are playing stock market, if they never put any money into that thing, they'll never get any return. You got to invest in order to be able to see that return. And that investment comes down to just simple commitments, like a commitment to a life of prayer. If you have a commitment to a life of prayer, you're probably growing in a life of prayer. If you don't have a commitment to a life of prayer, you're probably not growing in a life of prayer. I mean, it's really 1+1 kind of stuff. But it really comes down to those commitments. And I just remember just, you know, so many times that when I've heard this verse, you know, taught or whatever, my mind going back to the week of my salvation. And just how wild it was. My heart was so alive. I couldn't talk straight. Everything I'd say was probably so doctrinally incorrect. I just was filled with it, though. My heart was so alive. I was making commitments left and right. And boy, there was so much grace. I was doing it. It was great. It was awesome. Many of you guys can remember. Renew your commitments. Yeah, modify them. They're going to need to look different. Life looks different. Probably don't need to. I was reading Proverbs every month, you know, for several years. It's like, well, I maybe don't need to stick with Proverbs for the rest of my life every month, but for a season, that was the right thing, you know. Adjust it. Figure out what it needs to look like. But, man, I'm just looking at this going, take a look at your current commitments to the Lord. This isn't a legalism thing. Nobody even needs to know. You can get some accountability. I think that's helpful. But I'm talking about you and God. What are your commitments? When you're talking to the Lord, you're going, these are the things, Lord, that I'm pressing in. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pursue you in this way. I'm going to avoid these things. I'm going to really embrace this. They're just simple little commitments. And those commitments really define the measure of depth that you're going to have in the Lord in this season, because you don't catch God on the run and you don't grow in your relationship with Him accidentally. It has everything to do with the intentions of your heart and those intentions being walked out. And the simple words, just calling it commitments. I know we all have a fear of commitment, but like, we need them. They're really helpful, because those commitments in our relationship with God really define the growth, really define the input that we're having in that season in our relationship with Him that's going to ultimately wind up growing into maturity. Taking drastic steps to overcome ourselves. You know, pursuing Him in this season, this is the last one that I want to leave you with. And that is in Matthew 5, 29 through 30, this middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, He gives this pretty incredible exhortation. And I think that it has value in 100 different contexts, not only the one that was written about, which was specifically a sin issue. Hey, if you're sinning and you realize you can trace your sin issue back to a specific thing in your life, get rid of that thing, whatever that thing is. Don't keep doing that thing. But I think it's very applicable in just what hinders us. Not only the sin issues, but whatever it is that might be in our way. I'm just looking at it from a standpoint of taking drastic steps to overcome ourselves. Let me read the verse and then a couple of points as we finish up. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right eye causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. We've talked about this before. Jesus was not hoping that the majority of His disciples would all be cyclopses and one arms. And He recognizes that probably all of them were struggling with, you know, lust and all different kinds of things that an arm would do. And so Jesus is not into self-mutilation. He's making an illustration. He's saying, listen, I mean, if this really was the only right answer, then actually cut off your arm. I mean, if that was really the only thing that was going to fix it. Truth of the matter is, you still have another arm. You could still probably do whatever you were going to do with the right arm. Jesus is making a point here. He's saying, I want you to understand that the most important thing is your pursuit of God. Don't let something that's in your life trip that up. Go as far as you have to go to deal with that thing. I mean, do whatever you have to do to overcome your own human weakness. And in the area of pursuit, again, the context of the passage is the area of sin, doing whatever you can to overcome sin. But I'm just like, I don't want to just not sin. I want to pursue God. And the principle works on pursuit just like it works on avoiding sin. The concept of there not being any steps too drastic to ensure you pursue Him today. You pursue Him this season. You pursue Him. You were created to love the Lord your God with all. There's no steps that are too drastic to make sure you pursue Him. Use some wisdom. I mean, we got all the balance of, you're in a small group, talk to your small group pastor, make sure you're not doing nothing unbiblical. But my point is, man, just going for it. That we pursue Him with everything, and that we'd be willing to take drastic steps to pursue Him. I was talking with a friend earlier this week, and they were talking to me about some things that they wanted to do in their life with God. And they decided what they were going to do was they were going to make sure they did these certain things. Nobody told them to do this. Nobody was like, listen, you're not being religious enough. You need to do some religious activities. I mean, they just, in their heart, they just wanted to do something for God. And there were certain things that they wanted to make a commitment, but they knew they were so weak that if they didn't get some serious accountability to those things, they would fail. And they didn't want to fail. And they knew that because last week, they failed. They had the same commitment, but they failed. And so they decided that they were actually going to call themselves and get some accountability to give up their next paycheck if they didn't fulfill those specific responsibilities. And I was like, that's pretty intense. Pretty intense. Because they're so serious about wanting to pursue God, like, somebody might call that crazy. For this person, it's just them making sure that they're pursuing God. Nobody put that on them. They just did that on their own. They just said, I want to do this. I want to pursue God. And I'm going to get a little bit of accountability to make sure that this happens in my life. And so they made this accountability. They got a little bit of accountability on it. Made this commitment, got a little bit of accountability. For some of you, it may not be a negative. Maybe you need a positive reward. Like, if I do these things that I have in my heart to do for God, or if I avoid these things that I really don't want to do, there's a reward at the end of the rainbow. Awesome. There's no steps too drastic. I don't want to stand up before the throne and have to give an answer that the Lord looks at me and says, you allowed these things to stand in your way, and if you would have just done this step in your personal life, this wouldn't have been an issue in your life anymore. I don't want to have to stand there and realize that. Oh my gosh, if I'd have just taken that drastic step, if I'd have been willing to get accountability to that level, if I'd have been willing to give up that thing, if I'd have been willing to embrace that thing, to do this thing, to embrace this, if I'd have been willing, I could have overcome this, I could have pressed in, I could have known you better. Man, I don't want to stand up and have to talk about that with him. I want him instead to go, that was pretty bold, man. Brad, that was a crazy step you did. And it worked, didn't it? You know, each one of you know yourself better than anybody else. And no one knows what those steps look like for you but you. For one, it's this. For another, it's that. I just think we just toy with our walk with the Lord, and we just treat it so lightly. Like, I want to press into God like that person that has, in their mind, refused anything except becoming the CEO of the company that they work for as a little delivery entry-level person. But they're like, no, I'm going to be that CEO. I'm going to do it. Whatever I got to do, I'm going to be that CEO. And they just press and press, and there's nothing they wouldn't do. I mean, to take our cues from that guy who's motivated by who knows what, look, Mom, I'm not a loser after all. I mean, whatever it is that's motivating that guy, I just don't want that guy to pass me up in a principle that really makes a lot of sense, and that is, oh, I'm going for it. I'll not be denied. Whatever steps I have to take, whatever I have to do, I am pressing on, and I'm not going to let anything stand in my way. If I can have all you guys stand. Father, you got to help us. Oh, I pray, Father, that you allow the Holy Spirit to give us good pep talks. Maybe use some of the language tonight, a couple of verses from tonight. But I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, that we would be one who's not going to be denied. That in this season, we'd worship you where we are, in the season we're in, with the hindrances that we have, with the time limitations, the financial limitations, with the mental limitations, God, with all that we have, that I think is probably a divine experiment from you, a perfect setup for each one of us. I pray you help us, God, to press on towards the prize, to refuse to be denied. I ask you, God, would you encourage us, God, to renew our commitments? Would you, Father, help us, God, to just press on, God, to keep going, to daily cry out to you for help, and that you would help us, God, in this season, as there's transition, God, for many of us personally, and there's a lot of transition for us as a ministry, I pray, Father, that you would help each one of us to be able to identify how we might give our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength to you in this season, and then help us, God, in the journey, that we might get the fullness of this season that you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.